This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Wherever you are around the country, around the world, thanks for being with us here on Kelly and Company. If you can't stay around for the whole show but want to catch one of the repeats here on AMI Audio, check us out 5 p.m. Eastern and midnight, just to name a couple. And, of course, you can always listen on the weekends to the best of Kelly and Company. She's Ramya Muthan at Main Campus at AMI, here at AMI Audio. I, at the home studio in London, Ontario, waving in Brock Richardson, host of The Neutral Zone, who's here for our weekly sports update.
As a former athlete, I eat, sleep, and breathe everything sports. I'm Brock Richardson. Join me every Monday for your weekly sports highlights and our take on the weekend action.
Now, we're noting, folks, that he's a bit sleepy-eyed because of the Olympics. But that's the life, Rummy, of a sports guy. Mm-hmm. Welcome back.
Do you know what? I cannot even say that I'm staying up late to watch it. For some reason, as I'm watching it in my wheelchair, I'm nodding off. And not to say that I'm not enjoying it. I just, for some reason, the last couple of days, it's like, oh, I'm a little tired, but I'm getting through.
It's enjoyable. It's a lot. It's a lot to
pull
take
the old all-nighters like you used to, Brock.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm old. I'm old.
Why don't you just stay anchored right there from 7:30 or whenever it starts? I guess around 7:30, right? Each night, or 8 o'clock, and just stay right there until 9 or 10 when it ends.
Yeah, it's funny. I was discussing last night about how we used to be able to pull all-nighters, and you know, my dad used to say, "When you hit 30, you'll be falling asleep midday." And yeah, that's kind of true. That when you hit 30, you fall asleep middle of the day. It's really bad. I've yet to fall asleep though mid doing this show when I'm co-hosting, which is
a good sign. But in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you start doing that, we call you Rumya, because then you can sleep all the way till 9 in the morning.
it's a full nap.
Yeah. Sir, where are we starting off with your leadoff item?
One of Major League Baseball's most historic teams is changing its name. Let's have a listen.
So
we'll come back to it.
We know this is something, Brock, that is overdue in a lot of people's opinion. We've watched the changes in Edmonton. We've watched changes that have come to Washington with so much of this stuff when it comes to the names. And we've been waiting for this to happen.
This is a long overdue scenario. Cleveland needed to change its team. And thankfully, they have done that, and we're going to now have a listen to the clip.
Baseball play began in Cleveland in 1901. The team was known as the Bluebirds. The franchise has changed its name several times since, but
this is our team that has stood with our city for more than a century, from Old Municipal to the corner of Carnegie.
Dr. Tom Hanks in a video announcing the team's new name, the Cleveland Guardians. The club says it made the choice after more than 40,000 fans were surveyed, and the name recognizes the Guardians of Traffic sculptures on the Hope Memorial Bridge. The team's color scheme will be the same. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Yeah, I was saying on Friday when the news came out that the name is it's something I have to get used to, the Guardians, because I grew up in Brampton. And the Guardian newspaper is what I associate the Guardians with. But you know what? It'll grow on me. We couldn't have the previous name any longer. It just didn't fit anymore. And so any name is better than its previous name. So I am all in favor.
It's an interesting name, too, because, I mean, all of us will have our own spin on what it is, so I'm glad that there was the definition and Tom Hanks doing that whole introduction. And the reference with the historical avenue, because there is so much history, again, reflecting, Brock, on how many things have changed through the history of one simple baseball organization.
Yeah, and I did not know that the organization had changed its name as many times as it did. Which is kind of interesting to note. But all in all, good change and I'll just have to get used to the new name of the Guardians.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, the Bluebirds probably got tired of being, when they were playing badly, you know, booed and called the Boo Birds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Too easy there, Kelly. Too easy.
You bet. Found it.
So let's move over to the Olympics and things that are going on there. So Becca Myers, who was one of the favored to bring home a medal for the U.S. Paralympics swimming team, had to withdraw from the Olympics for a very unfortunate reason. So bring us up to speed. Tell us more about what's happening.
Yes. So let me give you a little bit of background on Becca. She is a three-time gold medalist in the Rio 2016 Games. And it was released early last week that she had to withdraw because she is not able to have her own support at the games, and so she obviously didn't feel comfortable in going to the games without that support system. And for me, I'm not saying that, you know, more medals means more clout, but I am really, really disappointed in the U.S. Paralympic organization committee that they did not go to bat more than they did for Becca. Because when you are a medalist and a contending medalist, there should be a level of a little more. Everyone should get equal rights. Don't get me wrong. I'm hearing Danielle in my ear saying, oh, equal rights. But when you are a medalist, I believe that you should get a little bit more backing from your organization than maybe she did. And on her Facebook page, she released a statement, which is publicized. You can just go to Becca Mayer's athlete page on Facebook. And she did say in a statement, look, I'm disappointed. I'm mad. I'm upset. Feeling like I had lack of support. Very disappointing overall from one Paralympian to another.
I hope this is the case of this happening all the time or relatively frequent, Brock, because one time, of course, is too many. Am I right?
You're right in the sense that maybe not as many people pull out based on this situation, but there are situations where athletes aren't able to have their own support systems mm-hmm. and be able to go to games. And so when they go, they're going under the unknown circumstance of not knowing what's next. And the Olympic organization, like the body overall, gives a certain amount of accreditations to each sport. And then you as the, you know, the sport have to decide where you allocate each accreditation, because there are limited numbers of accreditations in all Paralympics and Olympic Games. And as we know, this one especially is even more.
And can we talk a little bit about the importance of having support personnel at Paralympic Games?
Well, I think having your own support personnel is the important piece to label here, because that person knows your routines.
Right.
They know what you do. They know your tics. They know all of those things that make you go. And those are things that you don't have to say to a support person that you know and they know you. When you go to games and you don't have that person, you have to go through all of the new things and all of the things that you need. And what
first
makes
little
you
while, you're just getting to know each other.
Exactly. And you may not know this. This is not like one of those situations where you find out, you know, months in advance that this is happening. You're talking weeks. And sometimes that bond takes years to obtain properly and comfortability in order for you as the athlete to then focus and say, I have a job here to do. And that's where it goes. When you have to then split your focus of, no, I need this instead of that. It just can become a distraction that's unneeded. And that's where I'm pretty sure that Becca's coming at it and going, I don't want to deal with this with a pandemic, you know, restriction already with different rules and different things. I don't want to deal with this in moving forward under these circumstances.
What happens when someone can't bring that person who they want to be their support personnel, but yet they still want to represent their country?
And that's a interesting question in the sense that when you make that decision, you are at the mercy of someone else's personnel, someone else's support person. I've had situations where in the sport of bocce, we've been only allowed, say, 15 accreditations when we wanted 20 or 25. And when you're allowed those 15 and you need 20 or 25, that means those 15 have to support 10 more on top of their own duties. And so you're talking about shifting your own schedule and dividing your time and saying, this is where I need to be at this point in the day. This is where I need to be at that point. And the unfortunate part is, as much as it's all hands on deck, you want to focus on your own athlete first and foremost, because that's what your main focus is. But then you're having to split your time between those other, you know, 5 or 10 athletes. It can be an absolute mess. And then it's a matter of where you place people in rooms, because who needs the most work from here? Like, it just becomes a strategical nightmare when you have to determine who's more important or needs are more important than someone else's moving forward. It becomes just this, you know, feels like you're pulling your hair out at times. I've seen it happen. And thankfully, at both Paralympic Games, I myself had my own personnel, but I saw others who didn't. And it really does affect their performance at the games. And you don't need that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say the same. I've seen it happen with my friends and their guide runners when it comes to track. And even that, and that's not even, you know, like full support staff, right? That's just like during the actual event, who's guiding with you, who's training with you, who's warming up with you. And even that was like a logistical mess to...
Phenomenal, you know, stress.
Yeah, so much stress. The Olympics are off and running, though. Your early impressions of the game so far?
First of all, I want to go back and mention the opening ceremonies, in the fact that I saw some great integration in the opening ceremonies. I saw some individuals with varying disabilities being represented at the opening ceremony, which was great. Canada is off to a great start, having 4 medals in total, 2 silver, 1 gold, and 1 bronze. This is great. I had heard over the weekend that maybe our medal total might only be 4. We've already hit that mark. I believe today is day 3. This is good. I'd love to see Canada in the top 10 of the medal standings by the time all said and done. The one thing I'd love to promote is the fact that the women's softball program will be participating for bronze tonight. They have never won a medal at the Olympic Games, albeit they've had a short stint since they've been able to be there. That you can catch at 12 a.m. in the morning. Hit your record button if you're going to be like me and not pull an all-nighter. Do support them and all the other athletes. We have had great success in the pool and diving so far at these games. It's just been great to watch.
Okay, sir. Very quickly, they changed the lineup for the Toronto Blue Jays this weekend. Your thoughts?
Needed to be done. We've had some struggles in this. I like how we've shuffled it. I think George Springer needs to be where George Springer is. Love Vladdy in the second hole, Bo Bichette in cleanup. Love it. I think this team just needs to get on a roll, and they need to take 3 out of 4 this weekend or this week against the Red Sox if they want any hope of making a wild card position there.
Trade deadline coming up. Would you mortgage the farm in the minor leagues to get pieces on the remotest chance of a wild card?
Absolutely, unequivocally not. You are building a team for a long time here. This is not the year where you need to go all in. You need to just go year by year. You have George Springer for like 5 more years. Let's keep it that way. Do not mortgage the farm. I will come on here very unhappy if they do so.
A lot of nice controllable pieces, that's for sure. Thanks, pal.
Thank you.
Brock Richardson hits us with sports on Mondays as he brings his sports update. On the Neutral Zone Friday, though, you can catch him for a whole hour and the team talking sports. So join them at 4 p.m. Eastern right here on AMI Audio. Coming up next, joining us to preview an AMI original documentary airing this Friday is AMI TV's Wendy Purvis from our Halifax office. Stand by.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.